We
are reading in the writings of Baal HaSulam, the writings of the last generation. Introduction. There's an allegory about friends who were lost in the desert, hungry and thirsty. One of them had found a settlement filled abundantly with every delight. He remembered his poor brothers, but he had already drawn far off from them and did not know where their whereabouts. What did he do? He began to shout out loud and blow the horn. Perhaps his poor, hungry friends would hear his voice, approach him, and come to that settlement that is filled with every delight. So is the matter before us. We have been lost in the terrible desert along with all of humanity. And now we have found a great abundant treasure. Namely, the books of Kabbalah in the treasure. They satisfy our yearning souls and fill us abundantly with lushness and contentment. We are satiated and there is more. Yet we remember our friends who were left hopeless in the terrible desert. There's a great distance between us and words cannot bridge it. For this reason, we have set up this horn to blow out loud so that our brothers might hear and draw near and be as happy as we are. Know our brothers, our flesh, that the essence of the wisdom of Kabbalah is the knowledge of how the world came down from its elevated heavenly place until it reached our ignoble state. This reality was necessary as the act of an act is in the preliminary thought, and his thought acts instantaneously, for he needs no tools to work with as we do. Thus we were emanated in Ein Sof, in utter perfection, from the start, and from there we came to this world. It is therefore very easy to find all the future corrections which are destined to come from the perfect worlds that preceded us. Through it, we know how to correct our ways henceforth, like man's advantage over the beast. For the spirit of the beast descends, meaning sees only from itself onward, without the intellect or wisdom to look into the past so as to correct the future. Man's advantage over it is that the spirit of man ascends into the past and looks into the past as one looks in the mirror and sees one's flaws so as to correct them. Similarly, the mind sees what it went through and corrects its future conducts. Thus, beasts do not evolve. They are still in the same state in which they were created, for they do not have, as man does, the mirror by which to see how to correct things and gradually evolve. Man develops day by day until his merit is secured and sensed, and he will ride on the high planets. But all this refers to the natures outside of us, meaning the nature of our surrounding reality, our food and mundane affairs, For this, the natural mind is quite sufficient. However, internally, in ourselves, although we do evolve a little, we evolve and improve by being pushed from behind through suffering and bloodshed, since we have no tactic by which to obtain a mirror to see inside the people who lived in past generations. It is even more so regarding the interior of the souls and the worlds and how they came down to such dreadful ruin as today's, where we have no security in our lives. In the coming years, we will be subject to all sorts of slaughter and death, and all admit that they have no counsel to prevent it. Imagine, for example, that some historic book were to be found today depicting the last generations 10,000 years from now. As we feel, the lesson from the suffering and torment will certainly be enough to reform them in good orders. And these people have before them good orders sufficient to provide security and complacency, and at the very least, to guarantee their daily lives in peace and quiet. There's no doubt that if some sage would offer us this book about the wisdom of statesmanship and personal conduct, our leaders would seek out every counsel to arrange life accordingly, and there would be no outcry in our broad places. Corruption and the terrible suffering would cease, and everything would come peacefully to its place. Now, distinguished readers, this book lays here before you in a closet. It states explicitly all the wisdom of statesmanship and the conducts of private and public life that will exist at the end of days, meaning the books of Kabbalah. In the manuscript next to the text beginning here, it was written, "They are the perfection preceding the imperfection." In it, the corrected worlds that emerged with the perfection are set. As it says, perfection emerges first from the Creator. Then we correct it and come to the perfection that exists in the upper world, emerging from Ein Sof, as in the end of an act is in the preliminary thought. Because the incomplete extends gradually from the complete. And there is no absence in the spiritual. They all remain existing and depicted in their complete perfection, in particular and in general, in the wisdom of Kabbalah. Open these books, and you will find all the good orders that will appear at the end of days. And you will find within them the good lesson by which to arrange mundane matters today as well. For we can learn from the past, and by this correct the future.
No.
Nobody wants to ask? What?
No.
First
of all, thank you for starting to learn this. It's very joyous about this. We start and we stop. I hope that this time we won't stop within 2 days. I wanted to ask,
it
says like the whole matter of looking backwards, you can understand the future. And that's kind of the ability of a person. We tried, like for example, Chaim's book that truly shows, Chaim Ratz's book that shows the history of, is if you look at the history, you will know how to behave in the future, actually. That's actually what a person contradicted to a beast can learn. The person has the ability, based on the past, to build an organized life in the future.
Yeah.
So I'm saying that it seems like human beings see the history. We tried to share this in the show after Chaim's book. It's an example how all along history that we're in separation, they come to ruin us, and we still don't understand. We don't learn from history. That's what I'm asking. Why don't we learn from history? What he says here is the quality of man.
We don't feel that it's for our benefit, because it obligates us. That's why we run from it.
And the leaders have nothing to show in this dissemination, to show how the world must come through history to something.
Nobody wants to learn, but only reap the fruit. That's why you don't have massive quantities of people who want to connect and go ahead and break all the barriers until you reach some goal that you determine in advance that we need it in order to advance. No, there's no such thing. The evil inclination of man is born evil. And that's in each and every one of us. What do you have?
I want to continue that question. What is the role of the intellect? He says we have to use, without intellect we can't use history, we can't work with the past. So what is the role of the intellect in all of this?
The mind can bring things close or what seem distant in the future or in the past, and also in the present. And the mind lets us, or gives us an ability to concentrate our observation on what we owe ourselves.
So when we talk about what time doesn't do, whatever the mind doesn't do, the time does. So how does that work if the mind is without vessels of bestowal? That's an incorrected mind.
Let's say.
So what's the role of the mind before a person receives this vessel of bestowal?
The mind can bring the future closer to us. And in this way we gain time.
And how can we use this in our group? We have the history with groups. And
like I said, that the mind can bring the future closer to us. That's it.
Thank you. I'm going to ask Michael to read. However, in our internality, though we develop and do so through being pushed from behind through suffering and bloodshed. And this is because we have no way to attain a mirror to see in the internality of man of what was in the previous generations. We shouldn't have to say in the internality of the souls, of how they cascaded and came to such a horrible ruin. And we shouldn't have any, we'd be ready for these ruins and slaughter and all the terrible, strange deaths until we all admit that there is no counsel to prevent it. So when I was talking with Dudi about this introduction, he said this is before World War II that Baal HaSulam wrote this. That he wrote that in these years that humanity is going through this dreadful slaughter and there's no way to prevent it. So this is my question all the time. How do we do prevent? We in our consciousness understand that everything depends on the correction of our relations, and how do we prevent these ruins that should come upon humanity?
By the connection between us, because we already have records from the First and Second World Wars and all the troubles that were between those wars.
Let's
say Baal HaSulam wrote this. He was in such attainment and couldn't prevent it. How do we prevent this? I'm looking at myself. What am I doing every day that this won't, so that this won't happen?
That's no problem. What one Kabbalist can do, thousands and thousands of people that follow his path can do it. They have more of a demand and more of a complaint to the Creator than a great Kabbalist.
You are our teacher, you're a Kabbalist. Do you see that we're doing something correct? Are we advancing towards this correction?
Yes, we're advancing to this correction, and we have to keep going on the path, even though we don't see it.
Again, I'm addressing you because you're our teacher. What? How to not miss? What?
Each one in his heart must give a place for everybody. And from his heart, that he fills all the other hearts, to turn to the Creator and ask. There's nothing to add about that. Okay.
Oh, Asaf wants to add.
Asaf Mosif.
Asaf Mosif. Asaf is adding. Just to say, he writes the solution here. He says that although we develop somewhat, but due to these pushes from behind, it's because we have no tactic by which to obtain a mirror to see inside the people who lived in these past generations. What is this mirror that we need now?
We need to see what came after us, that these things can come before. And in order for it not to happen, we need to ascend upward towards the Creator.
No.
He writes here about this push from behind. Lately, the people of Israel received a big push. I was in a certain meal with my family, and one of them says that she lights candles. She's asking to have a room with five rooms. That was her prayer. House with five rooms. And now she's saying that she can't do that prayer anymore. She simply can't. She has already a prayer that is more for the public. Brothers, is there something in that? Is that a form of advancement on the outside that we could...
It's
some kind of advancement, but yeah. It's good that there was an advancement, and better if it would have happened without such events that we saw.
Once, if our car didn't start, we'd push from behind and we'd like wait for it to ignite and push. If there was like a push here, how do we use this so that the engine will get started and not just push and push?
We have to connect, and from one push, we can start it up.
Ken Gilad.
At the end of the paragraph we just read right now, he says, open these books and you'll find all the good orders that will be revealed in the latter days, end of days. You'll get the good things that will arrange everything, that will arrange things for us in this world, that we can learn the history and from it we correct the future.
Yeah.
He gives like very precise guidance. Who is he talking to? Who is he writing to this? Open the books, see everything.
It's here before us. So what do you want? You don't want to take it on yourself?
I want, but who did he write these writings for? For us? For the people, for the world, for himself? Who did he write this to?
For the world. Whoever opens it and wants to read it and understand it and come closer to Bala Sulam, and even to try and implement it, what he's writing about. So that's who he's writing for.
And who are we turning to now as we turn to people?
We're turning to the whole world,
knowing that very few actually want to hear it today.
Yes, but still even a bit that we awaken the world, we awaken ourselves, we, by this, diminish the amount of suffering and horrible tragedies that are all standing before the world.
Do we need to relate to these phenomena that are happening in the world, or is it just confusing us?
What phenomena?
For example, what our friends just said, there's today a big movement, in, at least in Israelis, to not want to hear things that that separate us.
Correct.
It's a phenomenon just now after the war.
Yeah.
So we need to look at this and say how wonderful it's starting to work, or to say,
you don't say anything. We just don't need to hear words that separate as much as possible, to increase words of unity.
We are saying that, what you said, all the years, throughout the years. That's part of our way.
Yeah.
That's a principle in our path.
Yeah.
The people in general now, from the suffering, naturally are saying it. How do we need to relate to this phenomena where suddenly there's such phenomena, there's such manners of behavior in the people? What should we say to this?
That it's natural that through suffering, people start wanting the correction more.
We could say, oh, how wonderful our work has finally had an impact, or that's not the right attitude.
I don't think it's our work, I think it's the Creator.
That
in this way, He's doing it in the world.
And is there a chance that now those who have come to this naturally will say, oh, there's someone there, some Rav Lightman that's been saying it for 30 years?
God forbid.
Maybe it's worthwhile to hear him?
No. A new time will come, and new people will come, and Bnei Baruch will be different, and we will push them from below.
Meaning we will continue to do our work in internality, and it will have an influence and there will be results there.
Yeah, generation after generation. And
announcements. Our broadcast schedule for today, Monday, at 10 a.m., the program, the news program, 10:30, talks about the path. At noon, we have the afternoon lesson, 5:30 p.m., reading the study of Ten Sfirot, and 7:30 p.m., the Zohar reading. And we'll conclude with a song.
Searching together, following the scent that leads to life. Through each heart, there's a door to love, where we find a way to rise above ourselves. It's you that lights our hearts, it's you that shines in us forever. With every broken heart, it's you that binds us all together. It's you that lights our hearts forever in our face beyond the veil.
Together we rise, together we rise, together we rise, together we rise. Gonna find a way to go above my reason. Gonna find a way to love outside myself. Through each heart there's a door to